Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. So, guys, Rams not only lost a Monday Night Football, they got smashed 31-10. And the Niners may have exposed a bigger issue for the Rams. It's Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, as I mentioned. We're going to get into that. So, first of all, good morning. Good morning.
What up,
gentlemen?
Baby? How you doing, man?
How are you? What's going on?
You got it.
All right.
You got the
You got the juice.
It's your world, man. I'm just in it.
You got the juice now.
The juice now.
You know, it's your, as they say, it's your world, man. I'm just in it. If I had your hand, I cut mine off.
So the Rams can't stop the run. They can't run the ball. Here's Sean McVay, head coach Sean McVay, on their mistakes Monday night.
Some of them concentration lapses, guys just not making plays that they're accustomed to, but certainly it was very uncharacteristic for a lot of guys. And it wasn't just one guy in particular. It was a handful of different guys. And so everybody had a hand in this tonight, and that's where we got to look at it ourselves, look inwardly first and foremost, and then be able to move forward accordingly, because I choose to believe that these last couple weeks are not who we are. I refuse to believe that, even though, you know what, you're only as good as your last game. These last 2 weeks have certainly been humbling.
So, Key, why? What's going? Like, they can't run the ball. They can't stop the run. Is this just a problem up front? Like, what's going on?
Well, this team is built based on high octane, explosive offense, pushing the ball down the field, not necessarily running the ball. Running the ball when you need to run it, but not putting an emphasis on the run. They haven't ran the ball. They haven't ran the ball well at all for the most part.
Pardon, Key, but look at these differences. Weeks 1 through 8 versus the last 2 weeks. Over 30 points a game to 13. Touchdown to interception ratio, 22 to 5 versus 2 to 4.
Yeah, but let's be fair. They ran up against a Tennessee team that just had their number, whatever the matchup was defensively. They had a much better game plan against their offense than the Rams had against their defense.
And Tennessee been beating everybody.
And then when you talk about the 49ers are 6-0 in the last six tries against the Rams.
That's interesting. So wait a minute. Key,
so the Rams are 0-6.
Yeah.
And the 49ers are 6-0.
So that's interesting. Is partially this, forget about like whatever in terms of up front, but they happen to run into a buzzsaw that was hot, and then a bad matchup who seems to have their number? Are we overreacting to what we just saw?
No, you're not overreacting to it at all. If you go all the way back, and I don't know exactly which week it was, but the Arizona Cardinal week, the Arizona Cardinals rushed for over 200 yards against them on the ground. When you allow somebody to gash you for 200 yards plus, you're going to lose that football game. And San Francisco took some of that film, and what they like to do is they like to run the football anyway. And they started to run the ball and dominate up front. The Rams' defense can't stop the run. They haven't been able to stop the run in a long time. Let's put it that way. All the way back to Wade Phillips. Even the year that they went to the Super Bowl, they struggled stopping the run.
It's a bad weakness to have, Jay.
Well, smaller up front, though. They're small. They're not, you know, you ain't messing around with 300 pounds.
No,
they ain't got no Saragooses up there.
That's where your offense has to be prolific, right? So your offense can't, your quarterback can't throw two interceptions at the beginning of the first quarter in both games and get down, especially if a team has that ground or pound strategy versus you.
Well, I mean, you can get behind a little bit, but your offense has got to be prolific enough to start putting points on the board when they're pushing the ball down the field. One of the things that Matthew Stafford didn't play well, he had a lot of balls that were high at times, misreads. Sometimes the balls are in the dirt. He was being harassed a little bit.
Is it the OBJ shows up and he feels pressure to do something?
No, they only threw the ball to OBJ three times.
But just his presence, the focus on the game, prime time, Monday night.
Actually, his presence helped them at times get some positive plays going because the eyeballs was on Odell Beckham when he stepped on the field. People's eyes actually went to Odell.
I mean, as it relates to Stafford's play, like we're used to seeing Stafford deliver the ball on time, on guys' steps. He was not that guy last night.
I think
he's been that guy the last 2 weeks.
It's true.
I think for one, they've been outcoached from an offensive standpoint. And again, this team is built on its heels and not on its toes. What I mean by that is they like pass blocking and not run blocking. When they lost – oh, God, I can't think of his name, the guard that went to Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Stoke. How do you
they
say
lost
his
a
name?
Couple dudes because they lost.
Oh God, I can't think. Of Sofolter, whatever. Okay. I'll think of his name in a minute. When they lost him, they lost something in power in the running game. Mm. And then Gurley, he was there several years ago. They ran the ball well, but he got injured. Cam Akers showed us some great flashes over the last couple of years that he could potentially be the guy. Now he's hurt.
Second half of last year, he was a baller.
Roger Saffo.
Saffo.
I couldn't. I was trying to think of his name, but when they lost him, they lost a lot on the right side of the line because he was really an impressive guard for them.
Key, can I ask you a question about their defense for the Rams? Because so Jimmy G didn't throw one pass over 15 yards, and all of his passes, for the most part, were in the middle of the field. I mean, why was that pocket always open?
Well, because what they were playing, they were playing some different coverages that allowed the middle of the field to be open, and he took advantage, or him and Kyle Shanahan took advantage of it with Debo Samuel or whoever they decide, Kittle, whoever he decided to push the ball to. He didn't have great impressive numbers last night. I mean, he barely threw for 200 yards, but it was very methodical. It was in sync. It was productive. And whenever you have that and you don't turn the ball over, you're going to win a lot of games. And you put that with running the football and defense playing solid. If the 49ers could play this way 16 games, 17 games out the season, they'll find themselves back in the Super Bowl contention.
Yeah, the problem with the Rams, if they can't run or stop the run, is that the blueprint, I mean, it's easier said than done, but if the Rams make early mistakes, as Jay said, and they fall down a couple of scores, then they're basically playing keep away with time of possession at that point. The other team, if you can't stop them, good luck. We're asking it, Key, Jay, and Max, and I didn't want to.
And in the first half for the Rams were moving the ball up and down the field. They just couldn't convert.
There was a turnover. We're asking Key, Jay, and Max, and I didn't want to do this. I'm sitting here going, can't we just say that they were a great combination and that both guys are great? But Keyshawn Johnson insists, who will go deeper in the playoffs, the Patriots or the Bucks? Why do you always want to make it pitting two dudes against each other, Brady and Belichick? Can't we just celebrate the book?
I think our listeners know that would not be me.
That would be me.
You.
Oh, it's me. You could pin that on me all day. I love it. I want to know. Is it more Brady or Belichick? I'll take imperfect evidence and I'll run with it. We're part of KJM Nation, or be a part of KJM Nation on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed or call in line 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's heating up. The fans are hype. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. Now,
Key.
Yeah?
Phil Jackson was a better coach than Michael Jordan was a player. Just want you to know that.
No,
according to Max's terminology.
No, according to
Phil
my
Jackson
logic,
won more
it's not.
Championships
I'm talking football,
without
not
Michael
basketball.
Jordan, and
we'll have a separate debate about that another time.
but
I do want to know about Belichick and Brady.
You guys are unbelievable.
Speaking of
Joe
college
Torre was
football,
a better manager than Derek Jeter was a better shortstop.
Joe Jeter still won a championship without Joe Torre.
And Jordan did not, but Jordan's the greatest player ever. But Michael,
because he retired.
All right. I mean, he played with the Wizards. I played against him, so.
When he was 100 years old. All right, speaking of college football, will Cincinnati be disrespected again? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Paul Feinbaum is with us on the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, with you for every mile on your road to greatness.
Paulie.
Goodyear, more driven. Good morning, Paul.
What's happening, Paul?
Good morning, Max.
I actually thought Tennessee had a shot there for a minute, Paul. I really did.
Josh Heupel has that offense really going fast. I mean, first time we've seen Georgia in at least a minute of trouble, Keyshawn, but ultimately Georgia's defense is just too much. I think that's going to be the theme of the rest of the football season.
Yeah, no, that's true. So there should be a shakeup in the top four, but there will be a shakeup after Oklahoma lost. What team will benefit the most with Oklahoma losing and Lincoln Riley losing his mind at the same time?
Yeah, I think right now Cincinnati has helped. Anytime someone else loses that would normally finish ahead of them, which Oklahoma would have had it run the table. So Cincinnati's just sitting there, but you still have a lot of other things to unwind. I mean, the Big Ten is really where the action is. You've got the Ohio State-Michigan State game this weekend, and then Michigan hosts Ohio State next. So someone comes out of that with a championship game yet to be played. Michigan is really looking good. I mean, that was a significant win for Jim Harbaugh at Penn State. I'm trying to see if the world didn't tilt off its axis after I said that. And then there's, you know, the SEC to be taken care of. You know, can Alabama figure out a way to finish the season and beat Georgia in Atlanta? That if that happens, Keyshawn, then there's two SEC teams. There's obviously a Big Ten team, so Cincinnati's sitting there looking for a spot. Hope the Big 12, by Oklahoma losing, though, really helped everybody else.
So, Paul, Heather Dinich suggested that Michigan could jump Cincinnati tonight. She says the committee loves Michigan. What do you think about the committee will do with the Wolverines?
I think she's right. A week ago, we all overreacted, including myself, when Michigan State was ranked ahead of Michigan. But you've had this feeling all along, even after they lost and blew that lead against Sparty, that Michigan was a better team. And I think that's what the committee should have waited a week. They would have been validated, but they jumped the gun. Cincinnati's just stuck. They don't have impressive games. I think they have SMU remaining. I mean, that's the game this weekend. That was supposed to be the big game that promoted them to the rest of the country, but it's not going to work. So I don't think Cincinnati is going to really matter unless there is significant chaos ahead of them.
So what tonight? So what will it look like? What's the top four going to look like?
Yeah, I think you're going to see Georgia, Alabama, Oregon, and probably Ohio State, and then Cincinnati, maybe Michigan. I mean, right, by the way, I don't want to dismiss the importance of this event tonight, but you know, when you have teams playing each other, they're all going to cancel each other out. So whether Michigan is 5 or 6, it doesn't matter. I think they will be 5. Because they look better than Cincinnati, but when they play Ohio State next week, you know, somebody loses and probably drops out of the top 5 or top 4, so it really won't make any difference.
All right, so who wins this weekend's elimination game, Paul? Big Ten, Michigan State, Ohio State.
Yeah, I don't think Michigan State is going to be able to hang with Ohio State. Ohio State has the best offense in the country, Max. And ultimately, you know, it's about them getting through Ann Arbor next weekend. I know history is on their side. But I will say this about Michigan, and I have certainly been a critic of Jim Harbaugh, but to his credit, he has been able to steady this program this year. And outside of that terrible 10 minutes against Michigan State, they have looked like a completely different program than the past 2 years. So I'm not ready to call the game yet next weekend, but I think Ohio State easily gets by Michigan State. And then, you know, we set up for very likely the game of the year in college football next week.
Wait a minute. Clip that sound. Paul Feinbaum just gave Jim Harbaugh credit. Oh, this is breaking news. We should play hot news or not news with this tomorrow, Evan. This is unbelievable, Paul.
How about – How about this? This just in, Max.
Hey, Paulie, I got a line for you. I am not running for president, which typically means when somebody says that, they're going to run for president. So what do you make of Jimbo Fisher saying he'd be the dumbest human being on God's green earth if he were to leave Texas A&M to go to LSU?
Well, I think he might even be dumber to keep talking about a job that, you know, he probably should ignore. I think, you know, Shakespeare had a pretty good line. You know, he does protest too much. Well, I think methinks the lady does protest too much. But the point being, quit talking about it already. All you have to say is, I'm not going anywhere. Nobody believes coaches anyway, Jay Will. I mean, do you? I've had coaches lie to my face. You've had coaches lie to your face. So you don't have to explain. It's really not necessary. Or you do what Mike Tomlin did a couple weeks ago and end it in about 15 seconds. And instead, this is about the third time Jimbo Fisher has doubled down. And what I give him credit. He brought into the conversation yesterday, said, I know all of you think we coaches lie. I mean, go ahead and bury the lead right there, Jimbo. It was really pretty funny to watch. I don't know what to make out of the Jimbo Fisher at LSU rumors. For those who don't follow this like some of us, his former boss, Scott Woodward, the guy that was at Texas A&M that gave him this massive contract a couple of years ago, is now at LSU. Jimbo has also worked at LSU under Nick Saban. He was also offered that job 5 years ago and turned it down. So, I mean, it seems unlikely that he would do this. He's also selling his own program very well by saying we may have the number one recruiting class, but let's not be foolish here. That job will be filled before the national signing date in mid-December. So even if he goes there, all the five stars who have committed to him can turn around and jump right on board at LSU if they so desire. So I think he's doing just a little bit too much talking.
Yeah, maybe so. Paul, one of your hit jobs is Dan Mullen, Florida's coach. What did you make of him and his team celebrating after a big win over the FCS program, Samford? They took them down 70-52, and they were dancing in the locker room.
Yeah, and you know Samford, which I think had only had three or four wins all year, had given had not played. I mean, this is not even a good team. So you know, sometimes you have a really quality FCS team, and you say, okay, well they were prepared for the game. They played in the spring, but this isn't one of them. And they were leading Florida by two touchdowns at one point in the game. I mean, the idea that you fire your defensive coordinator on a Monday, and then your new defensive coordinator gives up half a hundred to Samford is inexplicable. And then you celebrate, and then Dan Mullen tried to convince everybody how great his offense played. I don't know if I've ever seen a coach make a bad situation worse by winning a game, but he managed to. And now he's out of mulligans because he goes to Missouri this weekend, which is a pedestrian team. And then he has Florida State the final game, which eked out a pretty stirring win over Miami. Not that that's a big deal, but it's a program that's gaining a little bit of momentum. So he has really put himself in an awkward spot. Right now, I think the fan base, if it had a vote, might vote him out of office. The pressure is building. And this was a guy that 2 months ago, we were sitting here talking about how, man, this guy's a great coach. He coached Dak Prescott at Mississippi State. He developed Kyle Trask last year into the Heisman finals. And he just lost to Alabama on a 2-point conversion. And look at him now. I mean, the fan base is up in arms because he's celebrating and his team is dancing after beating Samford. That's not Stanford. That's Samford.
Paul, before we let you get out of here, you know I can't let you leave without asking you about the Pac-12 conference. Is Oregon on upset alert against Utah this weekend?
You better believe it. I mean, this is a very dangerous game, and I'm glad you brought that up because this is the game that I should have answered a couple of minutes ago, Keyshawn, that really could open the door even wider for a Cincinnati, because should Oregon go down, they're done. I wouldn't see Oregon getting back in the playoffs with two losses. Utah had, remember a couple of years ago, I think Oregon derailed Utah. It was 2 years ago in Utah's shot at trying to get to the college football playoff. So this is a scary game for Oregon. As good as they are, and they played really well all year with the exception of the end of the Stanford game, this could be their undoing.
Oregon on upset alert?
Yeah, right.
Paul Feinbaum, thank you very much. Appreciate it, as always. I cannot believe I heard you give Jim Harbaugh credit. You live long enough. You live long enough to hear Paul Feinbaum credit Jim Harbaugh for doing something positive. It is unbelievable. But this just in, Paul Feinbaum did. Appreciate it, Paul.
Thanks, Max. See you later.
All right, Paul.
And Paul Feinbaum's brought to you by Dr. Pepper. College football is heating up, and fans are hyped. Crack open an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, slap on a fresh coat of face paint. Return to glory with an all-new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. So we're going to talk about the Manning curse, and if it's real in a second. But listen to Draymond Green, one of the best talkers in sports. This is In the Game on Monday Night Football with Peyton and Eli. He was one of their special guests. Listen to Draymond Green on Peyton and Eli last night on ESPN2.
How would you talk smack to Peyton?
I tell Peyton he got as great as you're supposed to be, the Colts cut you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The delayed laugh is what?
Yo, it got serious in there for a minute. Yeah, Dre's good. He's good. He hurt his feelings.
So does the curse continue? Because Draymond and the Warriors are in the city tonight. They play against the Brooklyn Nets. So I wonder, you know, everybody that's been on Monday Night Football, they've lost a game with the exception of, you know, Phil Mickelson, who talked about it last night.
Were you superstitious as a player, Jack?
Extremely. No. Extreme. I mean, my whole pregame ritual had to be the same. How I warmed up had to be the same. I gave all my teammates individual hand slaps, had to be the same. I was very much locked into that. And when something was off, when somebody tried to disrupt, it threw everything off for me.
But it worked at Duke, but when you get to the pros and it wasn't working, did you switch it up?
Well, I didn't have a long lay to really test it out. Only 1 year, but
did you switch it up that year when things weren't going well?
I tried everything. Yeah, I tried to switch it up. I mean, look, when you lose 9 games in your first 2.5-3 weeks, and you only lost 9 games in your 3 years at school, you start trying different things.
Hey, Key, you were superstitious at all?
No, man. Superstitious for what? That stuff ain't real.
Yeah, but it's not about really believing.
It's about how it makes you feel.
Yeah, right? It's like an OCD thing, kind of.
I just laced them up when played, man. I wasn't worried about all that. No, I wasn't laying my uniform out early, telling people, don't talk to me, eat. Pasta every game.
No, but like before the game, did you give, like when you played, did you give anybody hand slaps or anything that like was your constant theme?
No, I didn't have nothing.
You know what's interesting, Jay, about you?
I drove to the stadium and listened to Pac and Biggie every game, but it wasn't superstitious. That was just
made you feel good.
Yeah, it was just like,
got you in the right frame of mind.
Yeah. But Jay, what's interesting is in baseball, like tons of superstition because that game feels out of control to the players, right? So they need to do things to give themselves a sense of control.
Man, it's all in the mind, man. All in the mind.
But you, in basketball, you would think the player has more control. So they don't need the – did you encounter superstitious basketball players other than yourself?
1,000%.
Yeah, like – but many of them as a percentage of players?
I mean, Michael Jordan was superstitious. LeBron James with the chalk.
Yeah.
I mean, that's things that guys have routines, things that they do that they feel right. It gets them in the right frame of mind before they compete.
Yeah.
See, Key doesn't believe in the sports gods. As a fan, I do. The sports gods
exist.
He laces his shoes on one shoe at a time, just like me.
You hear that line? Ball don't lie. Listen, we say all the time in hoops, ball don't lie.
Listen, this is how much I believe in the sports gods. Sometimes if my team is playing, I'll have to think, like, all right, I want the Giants to win the Super Bowl, right? Oh, against
the undefeated
Brady.
Well, God ain't been on your side in a long time.
Against the undefeated.
We got two Super Bowls.
Against the undefeated Brady team, right, in 07. You have to be willing. I think the sports gods want to know what you're willing to sacrifice. They'll be like, okay, the Knicks for 10 years, the Yankees for a couple of years. I'll sacrifice it. You see what I mean? Like, what are you willing to give up for this chip?
What does that say about Evan Wilner?
The sports guy.
I don't know. He must have found a championship.
What does that say about Jets
fans?
Hold on.
What are you willing to sacrifice, Evan?
Bad ownership. I'm saving all of my Jets talk in 30 minutes. I'm unloading on the Jets. We're going to hear from Rex. We're going to hear from Robert Saleh. As Key said, two former Jets head coaches. God, I can only wish, although I wish Rex was still the coach, saving all of it.
Ain't that funny?
30 minutes.
He's worse than the Carolina Panthers right now. He wished Rex was the coach, just like Carolina wished that they had Cam Newton 5 games ago.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Secret to the Cowboys' bounce-back win.
Yeah, a resilient team. A team that's very aware of what we're capable of. Last week just wasn't us, and everybody in that locker room knows that. It left a bad taste in our mouth, and I think it's the taste that we needed. Tonight just showed that when our heart and our minds are where our feet are, capable of doing some great things.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, presented by Progressive Insurance. Woo! All phone guests on the Goodyear hotline. Blinding.
Get it, that, Jeff. Yeah, let me see those shoulders roll, Jeff.
And then there's Jeff Saturday.
What's up?
In studio, giving the straight talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. What's up, Jeff?
How y'all
no
living?
Contract, what no up, compromise.
Good. What day is it? Saturday!
Come on, oh, boy.
Were you superstitious?
How many times you heard them jokes, Jeff?
I was not a superstitious guy.
At all. Okay.
But listen, this is what I love to get on dudes who were superstitious.
Me too.
That was my favorite.
Yes.
I'd tear stuff out of the program, tape it in their locker.
You're the
worst. I loved it, bro.
You're the worst.
Like, I love what dudes were like. They were like, you know, they were like the moves they wanted to hit their head to the locker. I was like, whoa, I'm about to go hit my head 80 times. I don't need to hit it to a locker. Let's relax a little bit. Let's have some fun. I'd always pretend like I can't sing a lick. I'd always pretend like I was singing. I mean, I had fun in the locker room.
Mess with them all the time.
All
Jeff.
The time. And you listen, the
tighter
they are.
That ain't going to help you play no better.
No. The tighter they are, the better it is, bro. Just get on them. Be like, man, did you see him? I talked to him before the game, bro. He does not like you, bro. He's coming after you. Like, I'm just trying. I don't know why. I don't know what you did to piss him off, but whatever it is, it's about to be on, dog. It's about to be on. And dudes be like, "What? What'd he say?" I was like, you know, he just didn't like the way you talked about it, and you know, he read all the clippings, man. He just, you know, he's gonna show out today, you know. Dudes get tight. I loved it. Nothing better.
You want some straight talk? Here's Mike McCarthy. On what – this is the way Jeff Saturday would apparently motivate his teammates.
No.
How does Mike McCarthy motivate the Cowboys?
Monkey butt, I highly recommend it if anybody's never used it. It's you know, I won't get into my personal hygiene here, but it's, you know, raw red ass week was the topic. So we're just, you know, making an emphasis based off of correcting what went on last week, and I thought our players did a great job with it. So look good on a PowerPoint. If you ever seen a can of monkey butt, you get it. It's expressive in the cure that it's I don't have the right words here. So
this man had to lose a bet. He had to lose a bet. There had to be some kind of bet with the players where he said, how many times do you think I can say? Somebody challenged him to say monkey butt.
Yeah.
It has to be a thing.
Got you. Somebody had to encourage this. Like, he's either making some scratch post-career with monkey butt. Like, something's happening to get on there and get that. I will say, though, I did know the product. You know, guys who like cyclists, like, this is what they – this is their go-to. So, like, I had buddies who, like, rode and did that thing post NFL career. That's what they put on when they go like a 100-mile ride or whatever. So that was I was familiar with the product.
Sitting on that seat all day long, you're gonna get the red ass.
Yeah, you're gonna get it.
Red ass.
Ooh, that's no thanks.
Yeah, but you
45 minutes on a Peloton's plenty for me.
Yes, thank
plenty
you.
For your boy.
So but, narrow.
Yeah.
How you know what I'm talking about? I'm like, man, just keep moving my butt around.
But see, I've heard that from coaches. The red ass from coaches when they're upset about the team, that they come in and say, "I know I have the red ass this week. You better."
Is that,
you know,
like chaps my ass? Is that like similar?
You know what I've heard it the most
so.
Is on the golf course after a three putt, like you three jack it and you go to the next tee box, and that's where I first heard it. Was, you know, when somebody smokes a drive after they three putt it, and like, oh man, he had red ass on the last hole. You know what I mean? Because he had burned up from having a three putting.
Red ass on the last hole. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you?
Jeez.
Come on, Max.
I'm quoting
Max.
Jeff Saturday.
That is erroneous.
I am quoting
erroneous.
Jeff Saturday.
Oh,
nasty.
It's odorous. What do you mean, Jeff? It's ridiculous. Listen, how do you anticipate the Cowboys-Chiefs game? Can we get this back? Do you guys have to talk about
Let's
this all day?
Or
can
Let's
we talk football?
In.
Cowboys-Chiefs, how's that play out?
You know, I actually like this game a lot. It's going to be interesting to me to see if McCarthy will stick with the run game as well as I think they can attack the Chiefs in the second level. I want to see Elliott. I want to see Pollard. I want to see like a physicality of the game. I think that will open it up from the Chiefs' perspective. And then from the flip it over from the Chiefs' perspective – I want to see if they'll stay consistent to what they just did. And listen, I understand that the Raiders played, you know, more cover three than most teams have, and they allowed the Chiefs to do some things. But the Chiefs had 260 yards after the catch. And I think, to me, that spoke volumes of, even if they could have taken shots, Mahomes did not, right? It started out with Darrell Williams, the screen game. Then it opened up it opened up to Travis Kelce in the middle. And then finally it got to Hill on the back end and even Williams on the back end. And so I love the progression that the Chiefs kind of went to. I would still like them to run the football more, which they haven't. But I think both are coming into phase after 4 weeks before of what they needed to address. They addressed them. It's going to be a barn burner. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch this game.
So, Jeff, what should the Browns do? You played with Peyton Manning, and then Peyton eventually got hurt, and you guys went from an artist with Peyton Manning to a painter at quarterback. And you know how that felt. So what should they
like
do
to play
long
on words.
Term? Yeah, man. What should they do long term with Baker Mayfield? Should they consider just saying, you know what, man, good riddance?
I don't think so, man. I'm one of those guys. I'm not a Baker Mayfield apologist per se, but I don't think this is all on Baker Mayfield. And this is why I say this. You've built a team to run the football and play good defense. Your two running backs, and I'm not questioning D'Ernest Johnson, I mean, quality back, but not Chubb nor Hunt, right? So that's a fact. Your offensive line, you've paid them. You're going to try to keep this team there. You're not at if Baker Mayfield shouldn't have to go win games for you, right? Like, he has to play within himself. There's going to be certain games you got to go win, but it should not be a consistent. And let me tell you something, man. Defensively, all the pieces they have over there, they have to be better than they are. And what happened is they got out, and I don't understand Stefanski getting away from the game plan at 14-7. Like, all of a sudden, now we're going to have Mayfield go try to beat the Patriots, throwing the ball around. Like if you're Bill Belichick, bro, you're smiling on the sideline because you're like, this dude did exactly what I wanted him to do. Like, they abandoned the run, and you got an injured Baker Mayfield trying to go throw the ball around. And I'm not giving Mayfield, you know, it's not because of the injury he threw the interception, but I'm just saying you knew he couldn't go do that. This thing's disjointed in Cleveland. I don't lay it all at the feet of Baker Mayfield. I think there's plenty of blame to go around with what's happening in this organization. And I think they fell in love with the roster, man, and you and I both know, bro.
They got a good roster, though.
They got the roster. Here's the difference. And let me say this, Keith, because I said this yesterday. And you know this from as long as you played. I don't know how many times I played the Patriots. It's a lot, right? I was in the AFC East when we first came in, and then we played playoff games forever, right? Most of the time, twice a year. New England Patriots are a physical football team. Like, you can't play for Bill Belichick unless you got some freaking dog in you, bro. Yeah. Like he going to hit you in the mouth, right? So I said this morning in a meeting on Get Up, people are trying to play chess. He's fist fighting you, right? Like keep going. Like, chess and checker. No, no. Okay, you want to go play chess? I'm going to hit you in the mouth, and I'm going to impose my will on you. And that's what the Patriots are doing. And everybody's trying to get explosive. They're trying to spread everything out, play this pretty brand of football. Belichick's going two tight ends, a fullback, I formation. I'm going to run you over. Toss, crack, like, you name it. You know, Harry's going to have to block down on Myles Garrett. I don't care. That's his job. He's going to do it. And you're just watching two philosophies of football play out, and why the Patriots are getting incrementally better week in and week out, and other teams aren't.
Real quick, what's the ceiling for the Patriots this year?
Oh, Super Bowl. I mean, listen, they're a Super Bowl. I mean, if you can play defense as well as they can play, then you have a shot, right? I mean, because Matt Jones can manage. I mean, he's played very well, but everybody's like, well, he's a rookie. But you're seeing him situationally. The kid's playing good, man. Third down and red zone, bro, he's playing lights out. So that's what wins in the NFL. That's what Bill Belichick knows wins. And the AFC is just so wide open. That's the kicker, is they have the AFC where everybody seems to play poorly.
No rookie quarterback has ever taken his team, forget about won the Super Bowl, taken a team to a Super Bowl. Eventually it's going to happen, right? Will it happen this year with Mac Jones? That would be amazing.
Amazing.
Especially the year after Brady won the Super Bowl, his first year without Belichick.
What if they matched up, Max?
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Oh, Patriots, Buccaneers.
Oh, don't Super let Bowl. Belichick
gonna
get him
break.
Head
I can't.
I need that to happen year three. Year two, I just need Belichick to win. Then that sets up.
Okay. All right, even better. I like it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive.
eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. All right. Mm-hmm. Time for A to Z. DeMar DeRozan.
Say his name again.
DeMar DeRozan says washed criticism is fueling his hot start. He scored a season-high 38. Zach LaVine added 26. The Bulls won 121-103 over the Lakers on Monday night. Bulls' fourth win in their last five games. Listen to DeMar.
People saying I was washed for the last few years. The narrative won't fit. I mean, I can find all type of chips that, you know, I use that's my motivation. You know, the hours I put in the off season, you know, I could go down the list. You know, I'm just being counted out, being looked over. So many chips that's on my shoulder that I carry and just want to be a winner and you know, just want to enjoy this ride.
Here's another chip for you last night for people that didn't understand how this went down. You see, when DeMar DeRozan had an opportunity to go to a different team, you know where he wanted to go? He wanted to be a Los Angeles Laker. He idolized Kobe Bryant. He met with LeBron James twice. He was even willing to take a pay cut to be a Laker. The Lakers chose to go with Russell Westbrook, which allowed DeMar DeRozan to sign an $85 million contract with the Chicago Bulls. But at the beginning of the year, I said the Chicago Bulls would be a top four team in the Eastern Conference, and a lot of people poo-pooed my thoughts. Kendrick Perkins, my boy, poo-pooed it. A lot of people poo-pooed it. I said, okay, defensively, Lonzo Ball and company, top five defensive team in the league. You get a guy like, welcome back last night, Kobe White, with the way they're playing, and DeMar DeRozan is playing at an MVP caliber level. I'm not saying he is the MVP of the league right now, but his name should be mentioned in that conversation.
Yeah, I don't remember people talking about him being washed. I remember, like, over the last several years, hey, his mid-range is no joke, but if you don't have an outside shot nowadays, you're not as valuable. But I love the fit on the Bulls. You mentioned Kobe White, too, Lonzo Ball. White out of college, Ball, period. Those are kind of guys who fit in any backcourt. And I remember also people saying, well, LaVine and DeRozan, how do they fit together? I even like that fit, the mid-range game, the outside game. They can both get to the basket.
And
they're
his team on the West Coast trip didn't have Vucevic. I mean, he's out with COVID safety protocols, right? And they don't have Patrick Williams, who has season-ending injury. So you imagine what versatility he brings to the table. Look, this team is legit, man.
Yeah.
They're legit in the Eastern Conference.
Meantime, well, you ever encountered DeRozan out in L.A., Key? You ever bump into him? Yeah, I figured that, right?
Is Anthony Davis going to be okay, man?
I've been knowing him since he was in junior high school.
That's what I figured.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I figured. All right. Anthony Davis, you just brought him up, got ejected from the game last night. Lakers' fourth loss in their last seven games. Listen. Alley-oop to Anthony Davis. He falls down out of bounds. Give the ball to the Bulls.
Lost his shoe.
So nothing going right for the Lakers. And Anthony Davis is still tying his shoe behind the play, and they just threw him out of the game. They just threw Anthony Davis out of the game. His second technical foul.
Anthony Davis says something like, what are you doing giving the ball? And must have said a choice word in there. The referees, they don't have to wait for you to put your shoe on.
And Anthony Davis just found that out.
So that's, I mean, you know, he already had a tech midway through the first quarter. Okay, nothing big there. You get a tech sometimes. But then his shoe's off. They let the play go on. He's upset about it. He says something to the ref. He gets tossed.
Yeah. He just got to, in the future, he just got to hold his composure and know that he can't say something. We don't know what the something is, but he clearly said something, and the ref heard it. And, Ocho.
But, dog,
can't lose our guy like that, though.
The refs are not going to stop a play when the opposing team has the ball after a missed shot.
Yeah, it's like, not
it was
fair.
A
it's
alley
not fair.
Attempt. Yeah. I'm not going to stop the game because you have to tie your shoe and get back in the game. But this is a bigger sign for me. I mean, this is the second time AD has been ejected in his career. And you also heard last week when they had a really embarrassing loss, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not good enough. We're not a championship team. Like, you're seeing AD become very, very frustrated. And getting Taylor Horton Tucker coming back, I think, adds a boost to this team. But there's still a lot of question marks around the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting frustrated. What I think he's starting to show is leadership skills. Mm-hmm. And by saying that we're not going to win a championship, no, they're not going to win a championship the way that they played against the Minnesota Timberwolves. No, they can't. And I understand exactly what he was saying. And then when you look at last night, him being thrown out, I mean, things aren't going their way. His shoe comes off. He just looks over there. Probably already had an issue because he got teed up already once by the ref. And so now I'm like, this is, you know, a little bit of what I wouldn't have done in the past. He wouldn't have even said anything in the past.
And let's face it, guys.
I like it.
First half was going to be choppy for the Lakers, however you slice it. LeBron hasn't played in 7 games. He's still their best player.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not panicking, worried about it in one bit.
And without LeBron, I'm saying, oh, they've lost 4 out of 7. They also won 3 out of 7. Like, you know, they're hovering around 500.
Hey, man, just
without
keep it
LeBron
there.
James.
Keep it there.
Yeah, you gotta stay afloat, keep your head above
how
water without
LeBron?
LeBron.
LeBron's 37.
112. Yeah, okay. LeBron's 112.
We've been saying
years
how old.
Old
is he for the last 6 years.
A New York-sized beef with one person, and one person admits it's personal. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.